Do you want to know how you know you're old?
How I'm old or you're old?
Just in general, how one is old.
Okay, how are you old?
I hurt myself sleeping. I think that's the marker. That's the flag.
Yeah, that's one of them. Definitely one of them.
Went to bed feeling fine, wake up hurt.
What'd you break?
I don't know. I just super stiff neck. I got to do the full body turn to look over my shoulder.
All right. Hey, old man. You want to do a podcast?
Yeah, I do.
All right. Hello and welcome to episode 338 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam in Vancouver.
What's the word in Vancouver, Adam? We haven't talked about the weather in a while, man.
No, it's summer now. Just hit today. Yesterday or today. No, it's beautiful and everything is sunny. So that's all you need to know. If you were here, you would be happy.
Right. I am happy here, though.
No. But if you'd be happier if you're here.
I'm what you call a happy guy, Adam.
Anybody who's not happy, who wants to be happy, they should come to Vancouver right now.
Yeah. Also, if you got too much of your money kicking around, go to Vancouver. They'll sort that out for you.
Yeah. It'll be a fire sale.
Yeah. Why does it cost more than minimum wage to park your car downtown? That's what I don't get. Yeah. I understand, like, it costs money to park more than minimum wage.
Yeah.
Some people get paid less than an empty spot.
That's probably true. That's because the streets are paved in gold here.
Something like that. Yeah. You're better off just hiring someone for minimum wage to just drive your car around until you're ready.
That's pretty good.
You probably make a couple bucks.
Yeah. They might not be insured, and they might drive your car into a side of a building. But other than that, it's a great plan.
Extreme vetting.
Yeah.
That's what I would do. Okay. If you're looking for someone to drive your car around for a minimum wage, I would check on Amazon.
Oh, I'm sure they've got everything else. They probably have that.
If you do, click through our site.
Can I tell you, is this a good time to mention something I bought this week on Amazon?
If you bought the same thing as me, that would be funny.
I'm about 1,000% sure that we didn't buy the same thing this week.
Tub of
No, that's not what I got.
Okay.
Okay. I got light-up glasses.
Oh, I didn't get those. What is that, for reading in the dark?
No. These are for a child's kind of toy plaything, but they are amazing photography props. So these are noise-sensitive ones. So these are kind of like party glasses, but they were $20 on Amazon. I had this sort of idea specifically in mind. These ones... I just basically did an Amazon search for glow-in-the-dark glasses, like sunglasses, just to see what would come up, because I thought, my daughter loves dancing around. She loves things that glow in the dark. This is perfect. And so these glasses are just all LED lights that go over the lenses, and they are noise-sensitive. So I imagine people are probably using these for parties or raves. She's not attending raves just yet, but they go to the music. So they light up and down like they've got sort of a rainbow of colors, and they're noise-sensitive to your voice. They're noise-sensitive to music. You can sort of switch them into different modes of high sensitivity or low sensitivity, depending on how loud the music is. And she could not be more in love with them. And they were $20 on Amazon. And they even have a little lithium ion rechargeable battery in them. You just plug them into a micro, whatever that is, that micro
USB. Cables.
Yeah, micro USB charger that it comes with. And they last up to 15 hours. So she has got more mileage out of these in the last few days than almost any toy she's ever purchased.
That sounds cool.
For $20. And I just started tinkering around with them for photography purposes, because I have in mind sort of a cool...
Blade Runner-esque?
No, what I was thinking was kind of a silhouette, because the glasses will light up. So kind of doing one of those indoor silhouettes with again, she's got crazy hair. If I could get the hair in motion with the glasses as the illuminating, you know, a little bit of her face, I think that would be a cool shot somewhere.
I'm thinking like a Thomas Dolby kind of Blinded Me to Science look.
Sure.
Do it. You should just Google that and do that. Yeah. I don't even know if that's really a thing, but Google it anyway and see if I accidentally got it right.
But for anybody out there who's looking for a photography gimmick for their kids, like a way to engage them and possibly get them in a few more photos, I think this is a good aid, because they will put them on. They will want to see what they look like in a photo. And maybe this is a bridge to other photos where you can get them to take the glasses off. Just saying as a photography tool.
We look forward to seeing a photo.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I will. Will do.
All right. I bought a water bottle.
Oh, okay. Well, we're almost the same.
Yeah. No, my Nalgene water bottle that I've had for 10 plus years actually broke.
Oh, no.
And they are guaranteed for life, but for $10, I could just buy a new one on Amazon and have it shipped to my house the next day.
Right.
And that seemed like a lot less hassle than sending in a proof of purchase to, I don't know, wherever it goes, Mississauga.
Gotcha.
Where's the place that everything gets returned to?
Mississauga, yeah.
I think it's Mississauga.
It is Mississauga.
Yeah. And so I was like, yeah, for $10, I'll just get a new one.
Yeah, good plan. This is the thinking that I have for almost everything, unless it was like thousands of dollars.
Yeah, that's what my wife said. Like, hey, did you keep the receipt? No, I'm not keeping the receipt. Yeah. I don't do. You're right. It has to be over a certain threshold before I will engage, and even then, like I've bought stuff where right away it doesn't fit or it's whatever, and it's like $11. Yeah, I'm done. I'm not taking that back.
Yep.
Yeah. Is it like, I don't know. Does that make me kind of a jerk?
No. It's just you value your own time.
That's exactly right. My wife goes the other direction. She does not value my time and would like me to take everything back. Yeah. And keep everything. Anyways.
Right.
So what's going on? Baseball update. Some folks are going to skip this, Adam.
They don't like baseball.
I've been told some people don't
are against
about
baseball.
This. I think they just want us to cut to the good stuff.
Okay.
Which I submit that this is the good stuff.
I'm not sure. Yeah, exactly. I'm not sure what part that is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. Baseball update. The last weekend of regular season baseball.
Already?
This weekend is the last. Yeah. This is.
Are there
like
all-stars for his age?
Year-end tournament. All-Stars, like, is summer ball. Summer ball starts basically the next week.
Okay, but is that just the All-Stars or all the same kids play?
No. It's just one team for all of Richmond.
Okay, but at your son's age?
Yes.
Okay, that's weird. Because when I was a kid, I don't believe they had All-Stars at that age. So I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, this is the first year of it for Jack. They talked about doing it last year. They did not, but last year was T-ball. Uh-huh. So this is the first year that it actually resembles anything like baseball and that they actually make outs. So, they have it this year and they play other associations. So
nice.
There's only one Richmond team. So he'll start that basically when this finishes. So, but it's only a month. It's basically an intense month, all of July, mm-hmm. committed to baseball. And then it ends. So you get a shortened season, but you get to play lots of different teams and lots of tournaments.
Yeah, that's typically how our season would go over there, too, like for the men's league. We'd start sort of end of April and then roll through until, I guess, the end of July. Our last doubleheader was always on or right around the British Open.
Okay.
Golf. I don't know. It really had nothing to do with it.
Right.
Just coincidence. But I remember that. So that's like the third weekend in July, and then you play provincials and then nationals if you make it.
Gotcha.
In August, so it's kind of usually August long weekend. I believe is the key for one of the big tournaments. So that's great.
Yeah. Hopefully we're gonna win. Well, I was gonna say hopefully we're gonna win our year end tournament because this is the regular baseball league now. So uh-huh. you play three games, and then the teams are the best. Two records play in the finals, so we're 1-0. We played one on Wednesday, we play one tonight, two tomorrow, and barring something, we are the strongest team. So uh-huh. we'd have to really tank. We've already beat the next best team in our first game, so if we lose from here on out, it will be a disappointment.
And back when I played in Richmond as a kid, the top two teams, like you'd have like the year end tournament, the finals would all be on the same day for each age level.
Yeah, I think that's
and they'd all we'd all play at Gibbons Park.
Oh, okay. No, this is not at Gibbons Park.
Where's the finals?
At Palmer. All the games are at Palmer.
Must be new.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right, so if you're in town, check that out. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. Be big, big.
It's going to be huge.
Except for you'll hear this after it's over.
Oh yeah, so don't go there. yeah, same. So yeah, we played last weekend as well. The team that beat us the week before, they beat us once. We beat them in the second game. We traveled to their park and we were kind of angry for them beating us.
Okay.
So we whooped them.
Good.
I'm going to say 16-2.
Wow.
And then I think 14-1. 13-1.
So they're not good.
No, we're just really good. We whooped them so bad that I even pitched the seventh inning first game. Yeah, I closed it out. Hey, no runs. Didn't hit anybody. That's the main thing.
A couple of Vaseline balls.
A couple knuckleballs. I dropped a couple knuckleballs out there.
I envision you like Harris in Major League.
I throw harder than that guy.
Was that his name, Harris?
Oh, yeah. You put snot on the ball.
You got to. When you get up in age, that's what you got to do.
No. I can still throw okay. So it's, I can still got okay, like a halfway decent fastball. And,
yeah, so did Harris. Yeah.
He did not. Not the way he threw, man. His form was terrible. But, and then had the biggest day at the plate that I've had probably since, I'm going to say 1997.
Oh, my goodness. 4-for-4 with 4 bombs.
Not that big. One of our guys, our center fielder, one of the guys you'll see in the picture, Mr. T, coming up, hit for the cycle in game one.
Wow.
Including a grand slam. So I think he had 10 RBIs in the first game.
Him and Pat Borders.
Yeah, that's the most recent example.
Of the Blue Jays, I think.
Yeah. I think Olerud hit for him, the cycle after him.
Oh, really?
Pretty sure.
Okay, I'll check. Anyone want to cross-reference that? Go ahead.
No one does. No one's listening. Yeah. No, on the day I went 6-for-8 with... 3 doubles.
6-for-8. You don't hear that very often.
Well, in a doubleheader.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, played 2 games.
But so, I thought when you get to 16 runs, you might have got 8 at-bats.
No. Not in that. Doesn't go like that. And I got hit by pitch, too, which is... I'm actually leading the league by far for some reason.
So you got 9 at-bats.
Yeah, 9. 9 at-bats in 2 games.
Wow.
Yeah. So... I just remembered, like, I thought back, because for some reason I remember a game I played at the Nationals in Regina, going way back to 1997 in the opening game. I went 6-for-7 with 3 doubles and a home run. That was, like, the best day I had ever had in one game.
Yeah.
And so this was a blast from the past.
Great. I'm so glad we're caught up. So now everyone can start listening again.
Yeah.
So they're on double time speed. Is that what you do on your iPhone or whatever, double time?
I don't know. We should just talk really, really slow just to mess that up.
Yeah, and then people will understand.
Yeah, okay. Possibly.
Photography.
Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
I don't think I did. Did I take my camera out? I don't think I did, other than the pull it out for the photo challenge. I didn't shoot.
It's hard for Magic Hour now because Magic Hour's at like 10 p.m.,
yeah.
It's tough.
Just hit the longest day, right? Like 2 days ago? Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's pretty much how it is. Yeah. Here, it's around 10 o'clock is sunset. But last week we had T-ball practice with the kids and they bought a slip and slide.
Okay.
And so they broke that out. So I knew that was coming. So I brought my 5D Mark II and the 70-200 lens to get a couple shots of my kids on the slip and slide. I thought that would be a lot of fun.
Sure.
Turns out I took probably a couple of hundred pictures just because it was on. It was just a turkey shoot, right? No, turkey shoot's good. This was bad, and I just knew it was going to be rough because the way the thing is set up, all along one side of the slip and slide is the sprinkler. It's built in, and so it just kind of pours water over. So the whole time, the kids are basically, there's water droplets in front of their face, no matter where they are.
Right.
So the focus is just a mess. And so I got out of the, I just fired away hoping to get a couple of good ones and got like pretty much nothing, like no photos.
But a lot of time to sort through, which is awesome.
No, it was pretty quick to go, oh, yeah, that's a lot of nothing. Blow past that in a couple of minutes. But the good news is I brought the 5D Mark II on purpose because I thought I'll shoot some video, and the video looks really good.
Okay.
So like that was that
Saving
was a silver
grace.
Lining.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then posted a picture and I put it up here. Was just putting my kids to bed the other night, and just looked outside of our the bedroom window, and that was the sunset I saw.
Okay.
I cannot tell you what's going on here.
No, it's sort of weird.
Yeah, I don't know if that's. I was hoping you could tell me what those shadows are.
Yeah, it's just weird looking.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's going down behind some sort of a building, but I don't think that can be a thing. I really don't know. Like we kind of live out in the country, and so it's not like there's high rises.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know either. I looked at it going, that's weird.
Yeah. So anyways, but I was just putting the kids to bed and said, oh, hang on a second. So I ran downstairs and just grabbed the first camera I found, which is my 40D, and just snapped a couple of shots out. Like this is actually through the window, like through the glass itself, because I didn't have time. I was worried that this was just going to disappear, which it did. Like moments later, it kind of, like, as the sun crept, below the horizon, boom, was just gone. And so this is the best I could do. I thought, wow, this would have been kind of cool if I was, out on a mountaintop somewhere shooting this, but did the best I could.
Okay.
Shot that. And then a couple of baseball covers, which I didn't talk about last week.
Okay.
So I thought I'd post it here. It's the one that, first of all, this week I will finally reveal the one that I've been talking about for 6 to 8 months now.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, last week's was the Field of Dreams mock-up.
Okay.
So you looking at that one?
I'm looking at that right now.
What are your thoughts?
It looks fake.
It looks way fake. As do a lot of these movie posters do.
Yeah, but the other one looks far less fake than this one.
See, the problem was the one that I'm going to the A-Team one that we're going to talk about in a sec, that was supposed to go instead of this one.
Okay.
Except for, long story short, we had to make a change. And so the last second I had to shoot these guys, and the problem is, like, I had this plan for August when there's actually corn here in Germany.
Right, and then you could have gone and done it on set.
Which we would have done. I would have actually shot an evening photo of these guys in front of corn and made it look good instead of this, which I basically had to take a still from the movie Field of Dreams and edit the other guys out and put these guys in. I just basically shot these guys in open shade, like against like the wall of the building by our park.
And I basically have no problem with most of the photo. It's the feet.
It is the feet.
Yeah, it just does. It wrecks. It brings the whole thing apart. Like if maybe even if you crop this just to get rid of that part. Like I think if it was between their knee and their foot, then the rest of it would work fine. And it might not look exactly the same as the actual movie poster, but I think it would be a far more realistic looking image. It's just the feet is where it falls apart.
Well, this isn't the movie poster. The movie poster is actually kind of lame. The actual poster that they had, I didn't feel like replicating that. I wanted to take an image from the movie itself. And had I had a little more time, I think I would have done a better job. Like the lighting on the guys is just, it should actually be more subdued. You know, they're a little bit bright for where they are standing, but I also want to feature them. I don't want them, you want to see these five guys because they're, the young guys on the team. And so, not my best work. But the thing is everyone at the park loved it. We posted on Facebook and got a lot of good response. And hey, great. Oh, boy. Some people knew it. Some people didn't know where it was from. And then once they found out, everyone loved it except my wife.
Okay.
She says to me after the game at the park, because she has the magazine in front of her, she says, yeah, what was with this picture? I said, what do you mean? It's terrible. So what are you talking about? She said, this is not your best work.
That's good.
She wasn't wrong, though.
Keep you honest, yeah.
She wasn't wrong. But,
no, not your best work. Again, if I didn't know who did this, I would have said, yeah, that's pretty good. But then I know what you're capable of. And
Jack, yeah. I know you're up all night doing it, and you're pretty tired, and you did okay. You did okay.
Yeah, you're fine. Yeah,
you're fine.
Yeah.
You're eight. What are you gonna do?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but no, not my best. But which brings us to I think this one, the next one, might be my favorite one.
Okay.
And this is the A team one.
Okay, so this is the. Did you not reveal this before? Only I saw this.
Only you saw this.
Okay, this one I like. This is far better.
And I also posted the original version.
Oh, of the actual poster.
The actual guy, so you can compare and contrast.
Which it's very, very good. It's a very good representation.
It's not bad. I mean, the background is. I used actually shot that background. That's a tubing in landmark, that little church on the hill in behind.
Yeah, I assumed that would be the case.
Right, so everyone kind of knows it, so that sort of anchors it in. I wanted to use something local, and then that's us basically standing in a beet field.
Cool. No, yeah. I like this photo. It's very nice.
Shot in my studio, like each of us shot all four of us individually, and had to cut us all out.
You mean that light doesn't really exist in the natural environment of a field?
That double backlight?
Yeah.
No. It's all hazy, like really dark in behind.
Yeah.
No. That's 100% studio.
Oh, okay. All right.
You're right. This is meant to sort of be cool lighting in that situation, like a hyper reality.
But that's the same. That's true. You know, pretty close to the poster as well. Like it's the same thing. They're standing in front of a similar environment, which again, it's got that same double lighting. So you just replicated the poster.
That was the general idea.
Yeah,
yeah. I pulled a little bit. Like the poster is a little more contrasty. I pulled a little bit because we're getting this printed, and when it gets printed, if it's too contrasty, it's not going to come out.
Yeah.
And so essentially, that's why it's a little bit flatter. Other than that, I try to keep it as close as I could to the original. Now, of course, you know, I wanted to be Face Man.
Right. He's the best looking one.
Well, normally, not in this case, but okay. Yeah, I want to be Face Man, but the hair said, no, man, you're Hannibal.
Well, you're the old guy.
I am the oldest guy in the picture.
But that's how I look at Hannibal, as he's the old guy.
But Howlin' Murdoch there in this shot, he's only about 8 months younger than me. He's also old guy.
Oh, he's that old?
Yeah, he's old.
Okay.
Yeah, and then B.A. Baracus there, the guy who hit for the cycle, that's Clarence, who let me shave his head seconds before we shot this.
Wow, that's commitment.
Yeah, it actually looked pretty cool, though. So it looked so cool that three more guys on our team shaved mohawks the next day.
Nice.
They liked it so much. They had no clue what this was for. We did this like a month ago, and they've seen it now, but they hadn't seen the cover, and just said, hey, I want that haircut.
Yeah.
So, anyways. So
the funny thing is, looking at the comparison to the actual photo, mm-hmm. is the fact that both Clarence and, who's the fighter that plays?
Rampage Jackson.
Rampage Jackson have similar sidearm tattoos.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, that part is like, really?
Yeah.
really? You both have huge tattoos on the side of their left deltoid.
Yes.
That part I was kind of like, oh, that's pretty. Is Rampage's real? Maybe he photoshopped it in to look like Clarence.
That's possible.
Yeah. Okay.
That's possible. I did notice, I mean, obviously this, I'm playing with the sizes a little bit. Like Alex, the guy, Face Man over there on the right-hand side, is actually a tall drink of water.
Yeah.
So like much taller than me. Like, I don't know. I'm on a good day. I maybe see 5'9".
Okay.
Like, depends. He's probably 6'3". So, he's a big dude.
Yeah.
So, and Clarence, much shorter than me, actually. He'll claim 5'7", but... But his arms look so much bigger than Alex's.
Right.
Yeah. But that's kind of... You play with the perspective a little bit.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, so...
Great work, man.
Yeah, I'm glad to be done this one finally.
So that was no green screen. That was basically you just had to cut that out.
Well, it was black screen, and then just ended up cutting it out. But the black background gave a nice little edge because I've rimlit everything.
Right, makes it easier.
Yeah, it's relatively easy to go and clean that up.
Okay.
Still not fun. I still prefer not doing it, like especially cutting out like in around Scott's mask that he's holding. Like I had to cut in each individual little cell there.
Mm-hmm. That was no fun. That would be a pain. And that's the green screen helps with that. But then on the flip side of that, the green screen, like I ran into the problem of sometimes you get unforeseen green sort of reflections in and on clothes, which you can't do much about other than you know, spend a lot of time trying to paint over it, and that's just no fun either. So
I prefer to avoid that.
Yeah,
but in the end, the next one that we do, I'm going to shoot practically because I'm tired of the photoshopping.
Okay,
all done with that. All right, monthly photo challenge reminder. Next month for June, which we'll talk about it next week.
Okay.
Is summer, conveniently enough, because here we are. It'd be terrible if we did winter.
Yeah.
Kind of a jerk move, but it is summer, is the plan.
Okay.
The end. Photo challenge for this week, square. From last week's, we decided, we talked about shooting square.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are.
Yay.
That's how I felt.
Yeah.
I wrote down, was not inspired.
I blame that on our last episode.
For us being lame?
No, to not be inspired.
I don't
Shouldn't
understand.
last week's episode, which was all about square crop, inspired us to do a great square photo? Isn't that the point?
Yeah, but I feel like shooting square, unless it's something you do all the time, you can't necessarily go and look for it. It's like someone saying, hey, I want to make a viral video. Well, you can't. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah. No, I 100% agree with you. Like, couldn't be more in agreeance. Is that a word? Agreeance? Yeah. No, I thought, what does this even mean? Like, I don't know what to do to make square either. I take a photo and it looks better if I crop it that way or it doesn't, but I don't go looking for the situation to make a square crop.
Oh, I did. I do. I mean, we can do that. We talked about that last week.
Yeah, but it's just not in my repertoire is what I'm saying. Yeah. I never think that way. I never think, oh, this is going to be a photo that I'm going to make a square crop out of. It's not the way I look at photography at all. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong. It's just not how my brain works.
Right. Which was, you know, the whole comfort zone and getting out of it, which I was happy to do. But what I found was I looked around and in the week that, you know, even more, we had 9 days in between this time, nothing presented itself. Nothing where I said, oh, that has to be square.
Right.
Like that photo, there's no way that I could ever shoot that, you know, in a landscape aspect ratio. So So what I did was I decided I'm just going to go with something very, very basic. And that the picture itself, it would only work as a square crop.
Okay.
Not that it works, but if it did, its only chance was being a square crop.
Okay.
So it's the one I have there in color, like with the chest and head, not the full tight one.
Okay, gotcha. The one that just says challenge.
Correct.
Gotcha.
I shot the others to kind of give an example of what not to do, but that's the one I shot. There you go.
Okay.
No, it's your turn to talk.
This is awkward.
Because
I don't like it.
Because.
It doesn't do anything for me in any way.
As it's a got photo. A blue background.
Yeah. yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I don't know what this is or why. I mean, yes, there's Tubing and Hawks baseball. This person looks very uneasy in front of the camera.
It's a language the issue. He does not speak English or German.
Okay.
He speaks only Klingon, which is a weird choice. No, he speaks Spanish.
I don't know. Like, I don't know. I'm not trying to be mean. I think for the most part, it's been a long time since I've been critical of a specific challenge photo.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have much positive feedback here.
Okay.
To give you, I'm trying to say. Well, it's not like it's a horrible. Like, you know, obviously it's composed as a square photo. There's nothing wrong with the lighting. After that, like, it, yes, it's a photo. It's exposed properly.
It is square.
It's square, and that's it. Like, I don't know. I don't. It's not, it's just kind of off-putting, the whole photo.
Off, that's what I'm going for. I'm trying to challenge your notions of baseball, backwards hats, yeah, and Spanish dudes.
I don't, not a fan of the backwards hat specifically. And also, it's almost, I know it's a baseball hat, the Tubing Hawks baseball helps, but it's so straight back that there's not even a hint of the fact that it's an actual baseball hat on the back side of it.
He looks like a gang member.
Yeah. Anyways, just he looks very upset at you for doing this, and I'd be scared to be you right now.
Oh no. Yeah. I wasn't scared.
Okay. So am I being too critical? Do you like this?
You're not
photo?
Being critical enough.
Okay.
No, right. This is not
just
good.
That we're on the same page.
I wasn't worried that, oh my God, like this might be my top 10.
Okay.
And what's Adam doing now? I have to get a different job.
Okay.
No. This is like I said, like I knew I wanted to shoot a person. Like that was kind of the point. And I looked and looked and looked and nothing happened. And so like yesterday, the day before we are recording this, I took my camera to baseball practice and just said, this guy's name is Jose. I said, Jose, come on, I need a photo. And so I first lined him up at the black and white photo. Now, that one's
not good, but I think it's the best of the ones that you presented me with in the folder.
It's more interesting, but that also has a blue back. It's a different blue background than the other one, but they're right in the vicinity. But it wasn't open shade. When we started, it was nice, hazy, kind of overcast, and the light was great, like a little bit of directional light, not too much, and then, bam, the sun came out just as we started shooting. And so I wasn't happy with that. Like, it just kind of, it wasn't doing it for his eyes. It just wasn't bringing anything. And so I shot one straight on with that, and then I also had him look away a little bit just to illustrate in what we talked about last week. Is part of the square crop, part of the appeal a lot of times is the symmetry of it.
Right.
And so having him look off to one side without it being like normally if I shot this I'd shoot it in the landscape mode a little bit wider and put him off to one side and then he's looking into the frame, it would be a much better photo.
Gotcha.
But in the square crop, having him look off, it just something it actually is off-putting. To me,
okay,
the lack of symmetry is no good, and I just because I thought we'll see what a people shot looks in black and white. That's I made it black and white and doesn't need to be. And then the last one I went in nice and tight, just to basically illustrate the difference. And you can see a real difference in the perspective, like in his face, like with the 30 mil. This is the 30 mil lens in tight.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting, but not good. Not in a good way. Not like, oh, yeah, I better find a square frame. but it is a little bit different perspective.
Right.
You know, like look at from his chin to his ear and everything that out of focus and whatnot. But I just thought it was too close.
Yeah,
I agree. Didn't think it was a thing. So, there you go.
Okay.
We learned
something.
Good news is I'm probably still going to win the challenge this week.
No way.
What?
I like mine.
Oh, that's good for you. Really?
I really do. I really actually like mine, and I'm not just saying that in jest. No, I like mine. I had no clue of what to do. So mm-hmm. I had no idea, and I was like, okay. Getting down to crunch time, I got to come up with a square photo. And then my wife, had just recently got a framed photo. Someone she knows kind of gave her a framed picture. And I thought, sweet, there's a cool looking frame. I'm going to use that. And it's not square, but it's an 8x10 frame. And I'm going to use that. And I'm going to play with the rules that we talked about. And I'm going to break them because I thought, I don't want something perfectly symmetrical like we talked about. I'm going to do the opposite to that. I'm going to do something asymmetrical that I think will work better as a square crop than it would as a landscape type crop. So I set out, I had this photo of mine. I wasn't sure if I was going to have serious face or if I was going to have kind of like smiley, kind of obviously not serious face.
So you went right in between?
So no, I went with this is smiley face. This is me smiley face. So I set it up and I just want one light. I said I'm going to do this super simple. I'm not going to mess around because I don't think I'm going to, you know, use this photo for anything. But I want to see if I can you know do this quickly and simply with one light. So I put the gridded soft box and feathered it in front of me and did we call that, what is that? Is that broad? I can't remember which is which. Broad lighting the way that...
You're short lighting it.
Short lighting. That's what I meant. So I short light, which I don't do very often. And I thought, okay.
You don't?
I don't specifically set up to say I'm going to short light this self portrait. Like I never really think it through. But this time specifically, I was like, I'm going to short light myself here. And then I set it up and I just did the tripod run in move because I was, you know, by myself. Mm-hmm. And did about 10 shots with different expressions and really liked the asymmetry. I mean, I hate taking self-portraits as it is. It's not something I enjoy doing, and going back and forth and running in and checking, you know, the composition, and I'm holding up a frame and all that. But I like the way the lighting turned out. I like the black and the contrast with the background, and I like the symmetrical asymmetry, I guess I would call it, of this.
In that respect, yes. And the other thing that you're not giving yourself credit for is no reflection in the glasses.
No, that's a move that I've kind of learned in terms of the angle of the light. Yeah.
Well, normally short lighting is difficult. If you want to eliminate the reflection, you usually have to broad light people, which I don't like to do.
Oh really? I thought just the glancing angle of the light usually is what does it.
It is, and in this case you nailed it, and so yeah, looks good. And also if you have non-reflective glasses perhaps it will help.
Yeah, I don't know if mine are specifically, but yeah, I think in this case I never had any reflection in any of the 10 shots I did.
Mm.
Yeah.
So is this going on your wall?
No, but you know what I thought of this, cuz I would never put a picture of just me on my wall anyways. Like there isn't one in my house. So do you have one? Do you have a picture of just you in your house somewhere?
No, of course not. I'm trying to think if I have any pictures of me, but I do have a couple, like maybe one of me walking with my kids.
Yeah. With your kids is fine. But I'm just saying by yourself do you have one?
No,
neither do I.
No, I have a few of you.
Yeah. That goes without saying.
Yeah. And your wife has some of me in her wallet.
But the way I thought this photo, like this, what this photo looks like to me is it looks like, you know, if I was part of an improv comedy troupe.
It does, yeah.
That's exactly what I thought. I'm like, hey, this looks like something that would be on the wall at an improv comedy troupe's like studio or theater.
You need to do that then. Just one night, you get you and the wife on a date night, go down to theater sports.
Yeah,
take this in a frame, just quietly, and just tack it on the wall.
And I think it would sit there for a few months before anybody realized, like, who's that guy?
Yeah, I kind of want to do this now. I don't not a ton of improv here in Germany. In fact, none at all in life either. But that's awesome. Next time when I'm back in Vancouver, we're doing that. We'll take one of me too. And yeah, we'll put it down there.
With just a little hanging toolkit and
just have it, the ones that just stick on the wall. You can't bring a hammer and nail, can you?
Oh, I was going to, but yeah,
we could do it. Yeah, you could. Well, you could figure
just,
that out.
I'll just take one off and hang ours up, and we'll walk out with a picture of Ryan Stiles or something.
Ryan Stiles, yeah, that he'd be the one. Good pull, man.
All right.
Oh, good. Yeah, you know, you're definitely better than mine. Yeah, okay.
Okay, moving on. There's not much more to critique. I think people head-to-head on this one. I think I'm going to get the nod here.
Yeah, well, probably.
Okay.
Take that to the bank.
Okay.
All right, well, we can check Square off our list of things that we have done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll come up again. It's just that
it has to find its place, as opposed to don't need to spend all our time looking for what would make a great square crop. That's not really the way it works, I don't think.
But I think back in the day, like in the 40s or something, if that's what we were shooting with those cameras, like the 6x6, like that was normal. Square was normal, which it kind of should be if you think about it. we wouldn't think about it. It would just, everything would be square. We wouldn't have to look for a square crop. It's just that we, you know, we were shooting 3x2, and that's just what we're used to.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Topic this week was one that you brought. You wanted to talk about this.
Yeah.
Looking in the rear view.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. It was your idea.
I didn't call it that. You changed the title.
Yeah, but I made it interesting. Yours was boring.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. She was looking back at your old photos for to critique your newer ones or something.
No, it's way better than that. But
okay, say, spit it out.
No, we don't need a. You know,
it made me marble mouth, man. It was really wordy.
No, I think it was looking back to move forward, something like that.
Yeah. How am I going to shoot an album cover for looking back to move forward? Just me walking backwards?
That's not super wordy, is what I'm saying.
Eh. Looking in the rear view. And that's long. I was thinking of something else, like cracked rear view or something like that.
Sure.
But I'm not going to crack my rear view mirror just for the album cover.
But wasn't there a famous, I mean, you went to film school, famous movie, Rear View or something? Isn't that a thing? Isn't there a Alfred Hitchcock movie?
Rear Window.
Oh, Rear Window. I knew it was super, I don't know, obnoxious.
Okay, we'll just call it that then. we'll call this episode Rear Window just for no reason, just because it jives. Or birds. The birds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was something. That's another Hitchcock.
Oh, word. The Lady Vanishes. That's what we'll call this one.
Okay.
Rope. We'll call it Rope.
I'm hoping to keep this episode under 2 hours.
Arsenic and Old Lace.
No, you're
that
on
wasn't,
a roll.
That wasn't his.
You're clearly on a roll.
Yeah. Yeah. The 39 Steps. I've Googled none of these. These are just off the top.
Off the
Psycho.
Cuff. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You want to name one?
Are you done?
No. I can keep going.
can we hit the topic?
North by Northwest. the topic, yeah. Looking in the rear view. That's what we're doing.
Sure. Yeah, that's what we're doing.
No, but your point was, hey, like, do you ever look at your old photos to sort of get better now?
Well, and I don't intentionally do this. I think that was the reason this topic sort of appeared to me, is I was waiting for my kids to get ready for school, and they were, you know, taking too long. So I was just looking through cleaning up in their downstairs, and then I found, you know, photo books. We have lots of these photo books that we made once upon a time, and I pulled out from our coffee table, you know, Summer Adventures 2011. Mm-hmm. And I just started flipping through.
So about 6 months into doing the podcast.
Sure. Is that about right? Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So I pulled out this photo book and I just started flipping through, and I just love looking at the old photos, and it also, you know, helps you kind of refresh how you did things, what you liked, what you didn't like, the simplicity a lot of times, because I wasn't doing advanced lighting at the time. And a lot of these were snapshots taken, like the book said, during our 2011 summer adventures. So they were camping and whatever else we did along the way. There was a baseball game. We went to Safeco Field. I had a picture of my dad and my brother and I and my nephew at a Safeco Field night game. And I just loved all the different photos for different reasons. And I thought, here's a topic. Like, this is something I think most photographers, anyone who's been doing this for a number of years, and maybe not seriously, but still had a bunch of photos that they either printed and put in an album or made this kind of photo book. It's always fun to go back and look, and I think you draw some inspiration from some of those photos, and maybe you look at things that now that you do better, and maybe some things then that you marvel at, you know, how well they turned out considering you had no idea what you're doing.
I don't do this with my photo work intentionally, like you said, but I do this often with my video and film work, because I hadn't really thought of it in this way until you brought it up. The way I shoot that sort of stuff is I shoot very, very fast, and usually by myself. It's usually guerrilla filmmaking at its finest, meaning I'm doing all the, you know, the lighting, the shooting, the directing, the sound, which doing all that at once is no fun,
right.
And also when you're working very fast like that, it's very easy to forget like little techniques that I've used in the past, like you know, just the way I shoot, you know, two shots, so I know they'll cut together, and think, oh man, I haven't used that little move in a while. You know, be it a rack focus or whatever it is. I always remember to rack focus, but just little things, that's not important. But I'll look back and see something I shot 3 years ago and think, oh man, I gotta introduce that back in. Like I need to use that technique that really worked. Or something didn't and I'm better at it now, but I look back and go, oh yeah, let's figure that out. So I'm gonna start doing it. I go back and have a look at some old photos.
Okay.
Today, from around the same time, I figured, okay, we should probably look at two different dates. One, when I first got my first DSLR, because that changed everything. Like I was shooting with an SLR for forever before that, but shooting film and then shooting with a digital SLR is a massive sea change, and like you're just it changes how you shoot.
Right.
So I looked back at that period, and then I looked in like the first 3 months of the podcast. So roughly the same time frame that you were looking at.
Okay.
And my conclusion was, I have been a genius for a long time.
Okay, that's kind of what I was thinking about my own work. Yeah.
No, that's what we call a lie.
Oh, I wasn't lying.
Yeah. So. Now that you've gone back and looked at your work with a critical eye,
yeah,
will you do it more often, first of all?
I'm going through all of the books. Like, so since I've done this, I sort of sucked me in because I haven't looked at that photo book, that specific one, in probably, I don't know, 3 years.
Yeah.
So it was kind of hidden in the coffee table amongst a whole bunch of other books that we have under there. But what I like about it, and I think I sort of alluded to this, is the simplicity. So you're just, I mean, at that point, my skill set was just capture moments. Like just, you know, don't get in the way, just sort of capture what's going on. Mm-hmm. And my kids were young enough that, and maybe I was doing this at a point where I was new enough to it that there was still novelty and they were really just more or less disregarding the camera.
Mm-hmm.
But I had some good silhouettes in there. I had some good portraits in there. And I think the most overdone thing, and we've talked about this in the past, is, you know, it was early DSLR days. So there's a lot of shooting wide open, like just mm-hmm. trying to completely blast out the background. But that aside, in the photos that didn't, I basically just stayed out of the way and just captured moments. And I think that was my biggest takeaway, is that too often now we're either trying to push a moment on them because we're out somewhere, it's pretty, and we're like, all right, now let's do this.
This is the greatest light I've ever seen.
Yeah, my kids are just like having nothing to do with it, and either it's they're so much more aware of the camera, what's going on, and let's get this over with,
right?
That sort of kills the sort of natural moment part of it, whereas that wasn't a thing back in 2011 because dad didn't do this for years and sort of bother them with mm-hmm. getting in the photo. So the novelty of it truly shows in the photos, that they're just moments where they're natural, whether they're smiling or not smiling. I like that part of it. That's hard to get back though. I don't know how
to. You can't go home again.
You can't undo that. Yeah.
No, I know exactly what you're saying. And for me, my kids grew up from the beginning with that, but for me, like there is, I had the exact same thought looking back at some of those, like the early pictures when I only had, like even when I only had one flash and it was on the camera and I'm just bouncing it, which when it comes to lighting is like the simplest thing you can do.
Right.
Throw it on ETTL and bounce it off the ceiling or a wall. And I think about like some of the results I was getting for that reason, for the authenticity part of it. But also at that point, there is something to be said for being too stupid to know that you're not good.
Right.
And you just stay out of your own way. And now there are times when I don't know how to put that. Like, I think I'm better than I am or whatever. Or I make it too much about the lighting and the perfect composition, and I miss the moment.
Right.
And so I kind of want that innocence back. I mean, we still get that stuff. I just finished a book for my daughter, which we'll probably get next week. But you know, I was still able to pick out 100 photos from her last previous year. It wasn't quite as many as before where I had to, you know, select from 500. I had narrowed it down very quickly.
Right.
But 100 pictures fit in this book perfectly, right? And so still, you know, still able to get two good photos a week, but that sort of innocence you talk about is, I don't know, is it missing or do we just perceive it that way?
No, I think it's missing.
We just sell the camera then, man. Yeah.
Yeah. No, you get it. You just don't get it with the frequency. Like, it's not missing. It's just one out of five that's actually a true-to-life photo as opposed to one that they're super aware of.
Is it, I mean, are we in trouble now? Because everybody has a camera with them at all times.
Even my kids, I mean, they have an iPod and that's a camera and they take video and photos with it. So yeah, it is. It, literally everybody with the means has one, right?
But which means now, you know, for good or bad, I don't know, but everybody is hyper aware of being in photos. Now, there was a time way back, I remember a friend of ours, we'll call him Chris because that's his first name.
Sure.
I guess was it must have been after college. When he was down at college, somebody made a photo album. One of his friends made a photo album. And he just loved it, like, and they're great photos, but he realized he was not in hardly any of them. And he just felt, wow, like he really was all about the nostalgia of that. So from then on, and this is film days, right? There's no digital cameras at this point.
Right.
He made the decision, I'm just going to get in everybody's photo. Like, I want to be in photos.
Okay.
So whenever a camera popped out, he was always aware of it. And they're like, hey, yeah, get one here. Hey, everybody, woohoo! And so it killed it. Like, the photos themselves were, all right, it's Chris inserting himself into something. No one was angry about it.
Yeah.
But the photos now aren't that genuine.
Right.
But because he was hyper aware, but now everybody is aware of photos all the time.
Yeah.
And so just by witnessing the experiment, it changes the experiment.
Right.
I'm depressed, man.
I know. It's sad. It's scary.
So what do we do now?
I don't know. I really don't know. I think that, again, like anything, this is sort of a time in flux. I think everybody will sort of, as time goes on, it's like reality TV shows. Like, after you have the cameras on all the time, they forget the cameras are on.
And so they don't.
I think, or at least they're not standing and posing for it. I think a lot of times the way this sort of stuff moves is in cycles. And I think there'll be a point where, again, this kind of moves back the other way. And I don't know. That's my thought on it, is that now we're hyper aware of it, but at a point it's just like we acclimatize to everything and we'll be more or less acclimatized to that. And it just becomes like just normal to us. Does that make sense?
It does. I hope that's what we achieve, and I hope it happens soon. Because like my kids are already, they've had enough of the photos, and you know, and I have toned it down. Like, my camera comes out far less often than it used to in those early days. Like, I look back at, like, the camera was in my hand all the time. And now not so much. And now like, people are genuinely surprised when I show up without a camera.
Right.
Still, and I've been doing this for like at least a year now. Going to other kids, like our friends have, you know, invite our kids to birthday parties, and I used to bring a camera. I do not now.
Right.
So, no point. For kind of the reasons that we just discussed. Looking back on all the, on my favorite photos, it was basically, it wasn't, you know, how I shot, how I lit, how I did that, but it was all about what.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I want to focus on now. What I shot or what I missed. And sometimes you kick yourself and go, oh man, like kind of missed that, you know, that would have been good to get. So that's kind of what I focus on when I look back at the old stuff.
I'm on the same page, and some of my absolute favorite photos from when my kids were young that still hold up as some of my favorite photos to this day were taken with the setup that you described, like just on-camera flash being bounced off a wall or ceiling. As fancy as it got was, you know, snooting it. And the results are amazing. And because it's not about the light, it's about the moment or the expression or whatever they're doing, but the lighting is good enough that it's out of the way.
Right.
And in some cases, it's better than out of the way. I don't know if I would have been able to reproduce it with, you know, soft boxes and multiple lights and all that. It looks right in the way that it should exist, right?
Which is why I see people have these studio photos that they have. They've gone to Sears and have their kids sit on an Apple box. And then I understand the place for that. It's not my favorite.
No.
Like, shooting my kids in the studio is not my favorite thing ever. Like, for certain things, like you know, my daughter's birthday invitation, I did that. I shot her in the studio wearing a princess dress and the smoke machine and had fun with it.
Yeah.
But that was for a purpose. That wasn't to capture the moment of her. And to the point that out of the 100 photos that I used for her album, I think one was shot in studio. Just because she got a new dress, a new princess dress. And this is like months ago. And I think I had the studio set up for something else, and we just ran down there and shot a her new Snow White dress.
Yeah.
Everything else.
I agree with you, and I'm gonna throw on top of that the part that really I think I like about the Sears photo thing for people that do it. We did it once, 1 year with my brother's family and our family when the kids were really little. Jack was a baby and sort of had to be plunked into this little baby chair that tipped over at one point. He fell on his head. Mm-hmm. But what I like about it in going over to other people's houses, especially as adults, and when they did this as a family each year, is the novelty of it in that you sort of see a very similar kind of lighting all the way through, but you see the clothes, the hair, all that change. So I like it as a yearly event for anybody who does this, whether they do it in their own studio or whether they go to Sears, if they don't have the equipment and have someone else do it. I like that. I want to have something like that to look back on as we kind of age together in a similar shot each year. But outside of that, it really doesn't hold up for me. But if we did the same photo sort of standing on the dike in Steveston, that wouldn't be the same because it's the getting dressed up in the clothes of the time, right?
True.
Which I don't think would be the same if you're in a shorts and a t-shirt every year in the summer at Gary Point. It wouldn't have that same effect.
Right. You don't have the feathered hair and the acid wash jeans.
Right. Yeah. All of that stuff that
you
probably...
Rat. The t-shirt.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm assuming that's what you were getting at.
That's what I was into, yeah.
Yeah. No, in that respect, I do like that. I'm not saying don't do that. It's just, you know, if that's your primary photo, like your primary sort of yearly photo, it's, I don't know. To me, I like the more genuine stuff, but I'm still going to shoot my kids in the studio. Good point.
Okay, that's the takeaway.
All right. But keep looking back. That's what I would suggest is every now and then go back and remember what you did, how you did it, what you shot, and if you're kind of, whether you're on the wrong path or not, or whether you're aware of it, just kind of look back and think, hey, you know, what am I missing?
Or look for inspiration. I mean,
yes.
I think that's it. It's just
it's a more positive way of saying it.
Yeah, I haven't taken a ton of photos in the last year. And so I look back and then I think, oh man, I love having some of those photos. Like, we go away and oftentimes I don't take a camera.
Yeah.
And I think, okay, it's light packing and it's easier and the kids don't really care. But then, you know, 2 years from now, I'm going to miss that I didn't take at least, you know, two or three photos from whatever we did. I just did that for a long time and I don't do that as often. So I found it sort of an inspiring takeaway is that, yeah, I should just kind of, even if it's just my Sony little point and shoot, I should just keep a camera with me when we go away just to take a couple of snapshots or whatever we're doing. They don't have to be art. They don't have to go on the wall, but they might find their way into a photo book just to remind me. And yeah, I like those keepsakes.
Well, that was the one thing I noticed with my daughter's book is out of those 100 pictures, I didn't have any of her and her grandparents together.
Yeah.
Which normally I do. Normally I would have a bunch of them doing something. I just, not a one, and not even that I didn't pick one. I didn't have any. For a whole year, did not shoot a picture of her. And she sees the grandparents an awful lot.
Yeah.
and likes one of them. Okay. And, you know.
not saying which one.
Yeah, we're not going to tell which one. But, yeah, so like that's, you know, moving forward, I'm going to, before you even mention this, I actually made that correction. I said, okay, I have to start shooting pictures of them. So,
yeah.
Worthwhile exercise. All right. Challenge for next week is the monthly challenge, and that is summer.
Pressure.
Yeah. Summer, square summer, I think is what it was.
I have not taken my summer one, so now it feels like a weekly challenge.
Well, summer just happened 2 days ago, so.
I know. That's true, yeah.
I haven't taken mine either. Maybe I'll take mine today.
Okay.
Nice summer evening. We'll see. It's hot here. I didn't mention that at the top of the show. It's hot, like 36 degrees hot.
Nice.
Yeah. So I'll take it in that. My camera melting. Yeah, that's the one takeaway. One of the guys on our team sent a message. Hey, it's supposed to be 36 degrees tomorrow. Do we still have practice? Yeah. I don't understand the question. Yeah, that's pretty hot. Should we skip it? No.
No, we shouldn't.
No. You should wear shorts.
Right.
We'll let you wear shorts. How about that?
Should toughen up.
Toughen up. All right, so summer, you're gonna hashtag that with Two Hosers Monthly Challenge, but you can find all of that. First off, where can people go to find your stuff, Adam?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
And my stuff at AlanAtridge.com. The two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can find all the links, the hashtags, the photos, and everything we just talked about. The Amazon link especially.
Great.
That's it. Adam, until next week, get out there and make better photos.